Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave. And as if on cue, this is no joke. At the very beginning of the show, here are the dogs next door barking. They are on cue, okay? Mike next door must be saying, hey, it's 1 o'clock Eastern. Let's bring the dogs out. So here we are broadcasting live in the kitchen in Rosedale, right outside of Baltimore, Maryland, ladies and gentlemen. And with me on the line on Hybrid Jazz is one of my favorite people on this planet or any other. And it's more than the fact that he is a multi-talent who can play any saxophone and, thank you very much, repair that thing that you have in your hand, too. I'm talking about saxophones. And an iwi master and a terrific vocalist and a pool shark. And a songwriter. I'm talking about the one, the only, the first guest we ever had on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, Jared. Hey, you.
Hey, you. How you doing, Trish?
I'm doing better now. It's always good to hear your perky voice. I love that voice.
Well, thank you. It's always good to be perky with you.
Don't try this at home, kids. How have things been? You have gone through some. We were together last time when Kristen DeMasonis was here and Elliot Levine and you. It's a little crowded in the chat room then, but things are fine now. You alluded to some things that were going on. Would you care to expound, please?
Well, yeah. First off, you know, talking about, you know, Kristen and you know, also known as Big New York, and
yes.
And of course, Elliot the Animal Levine. That show that we did at K2 Lounge a little over a month ago, I got to tell you, it really set the place on fire. I was actually very surprised, very pleasantly surprised that so many people turned out, you know, to see the show, and it had such a, you know, such a great response that you know, I'm really hoping that, you know, that we do something there again with that unit. You know, with Kristen, myself, and Elliot Levine. I think that Kristen is working on that as we speak, and there might be some more dates coming up soon. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm working on a couple of new projects, and I just had a brand new project fall into my lap from my older manager that I had, you know, a couple of years ago, and technically he's still my manager. I just have taken kind of like a 2-year hiatus from the music scene for a bit, you know, nationally and internationally. But
yes,
there's a brand new band that we're putting together, and it's called Saxes Unleashed. And it's myself and three other just top-notch nationally known, you know, artists in their own right, smooth jazz and contemporary jazz artists in their own right. And basically it's our answer to Dave Koz's Summer Horns.
And, oh, my God, Jared. I'm so excited. Oh, my God, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that makes me so happy because you had talked about this on one of these visits to Hybrid Jazz. But, you know, I didn't want to say anything, but talk on. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's okay. The saxophone players right now, we're setting up right now. I know that there's going to be four sax players. I will be one of them, and
wow.
I'll also be one of the vocalists. But right now, Bruce Nazarian, you know, the digital guy, he's got a wonderful radio show as well. He's the producer and also the musical director, and he's going to be the rhythm guitar player in the group. And he's fantastic. He's my buddy. And, you know, he's a great rhythm guitar player. Not a lot of people know it, but he toured with Brownsville Station years and years ago. And, he's very well known. He's done a lot of production work for movies, also for television shows. You know, he's done a lot of great things in his life, and he's always been, like you, he's always been one of my biggest advocates over the years. And he decided to say, okay, well, Jared, we need to get you back out there, and I've got just the scenario to do this. And he says, I've been thinking about this project for a while. And he says, what do you think about it? And I said, I would love to do it. You know, I mean, right there, you know, I think we had talked about this before, Trish, how, you know, I've kind of sat back from the smooth jazz scene a little bit, was a little bit disenchanted with it for a while.
Yes.
And frankly, not much of that has changed. I'm still kind of disenchanted with it. But with this new project coming out, which is more than smooth jazz, it's mainly going to be geared towards contemporary jazz, funk, funk fusion, you name it. And, of course, R&B vocals as well.
Woo, that's hot. Oh.
I've got the itch again, let's just say. And
thank God.
I know that we've got Brad Ramber, who's also another wonderful saxophonist from the West
yes.
Coast.
Yes.
And it looks like obviously myself, Brad Ramber, a guy named Mike Partlett, who's also he's a British saxophonist, but he lives in the Los Angeles area, who's fantastic.
That's
and
wonderful.
We're trying to figure out the fourth saxophonist right now as we speak. It's either a toss-up, I think, between Eddie Bacchus Jr. or possibly there's a couple of others. I mean, there's been some that's been floating around, but we're trying to fill that last slot to really make it work for all of us. And I think Bruce has his head around that a lot better than I do. So, but I know that it's going to be myself and Brad Ramber for sure. And then the other two, like I said, the other two spots are going to be filled hopefully by either someone like Marcus Anderson or Eddie Bacchus Jr. or someone of that type of caliber and that type of style.
Well,
so,
let me tell you something. You and Eddie Bacchus Jr.
Eddie Bacchus, he's fantastic.
He is. He's a buddy of mine, and he has been for a while. And I can just imagine the kind of chemistry that you two could produce. I know about Brad. You know,
absolutely. And Brad's fantastic. He's a character.
Yes.
And but like I said, I know the two solid sax players right now that have committed to this are myself and Brad Ramber. The other two are still up in the air, but I know that Bruce Nazarian has his head around it, and I know that he's going to fill those two spots with the people that are going to be absolutely perfect for the show. I have no doubt.
Man.
He's got a good eye and a good ear for that. And I know that we've already started, you know, doing some preliminary recording, for it already. I know I have.
Wow.
It's in the process. Speak.
Jared, that makes me so excited, and I speak for so many, because you know that I have said for years about you, and if you have never heard this, maybe it will be the first time, but your talent is so amazing. There were a couple of comments that were either made publicly or privately to me when folks knew that you were going to be on the show, and everybody was delighted. People gravitate to your particular style of saxophone playing. Love your voice for sure. You don't sound like anybody else, and that's the extra treat. But your saxophone playing, because you kept that singing a guarded little secret for a while, then it popped forth, and we went, what? Oh, no, he can't be talented on the saxophone and then sing like this, too. but here's the thing about you. Any time that I have seen you with anybody else, I thought after the show, you know what? If Jared had not been here, this performance by the other person on stage would not have been half as good. You make everybody better when you're on that stage. And then when you do your solo shows, it's like we have never seen a show before. That's how good you are.
Well, thank you. You know, I've always, you know, I was taught at a very young age when I first started playing professionally at 14 years of age. I was taught by an older gentleman in the very first professional band that I got into that, you know, when you're playing the gig, the one thing you have to remember, just four words. If you're on somebody else's show, just remember four words. And I said, what are those four words? And he says, it ain't my gig. So that I've lived by, you know, for many years. And I've always tried to I've always tried to play appropriately. You know, in other words, what the professionals call, you know, play the gig. You know, I try not to when I'm on somebody else's show, I try to do exactly what I'm hired to do.
Sure.
But when I get a chance to, you know, obviously, you know, do my own show, then of course, you know, I stretch out a bit. And, you know, get to do a lot of the stuff that I find fun, and hopefully the audience will too. And, you know, that's why I try to, you know, tell people, you know, other sax, younger sax players that come along, and, you know, they obviously want their own band, they want their own career, and, you know, obviously there's nothing wrong with that. I'm all for them on that. But I always tell them, I said, never, ever, ever, ever look down your nose at the sidemen. I said, because they're the ones that are going to help you sound as great as you sound, you know.
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
said, always remember, if you can get some sidemen work for other artists, I said, it'll make you a better all-around player. You know, it'll help rein you in when you need to be reined in, and it'll show you the business of not only what to do when you are a leader, and it'll show you what not to do when you are a leader. I said, so always keep your eyes open and, you know, play both sides of it. Wear both of those hats, and you'll learn more about the business, and it'll make you a better all-around musician, you know, throughout your career.
Well, you've always been a person, to my way of thinking, that has grasped the notion of customer service. Now, that may seem like it's incongruous as far as the music industry is concerned if you're a musician, because, you know, some musicians, performers, pride themselves on playing as they go, let the chips fall where they may. But you have always been the consummate professional in getting back and finding out what is expected and making sure that you are a team player with whoever you're playing with. But here's the fact of the matter. When you are on stage, that warmth emanates from you. You can't help it. You so enjoy what you do that it transmits to the audience, and they just feel it. Now, I, you know, I don't know, through the years, Jared, let's speak frankly, that may have ticked some people off, because a lot of people don't have what you have. They don't have your spirit and the camaraderie that you feel, the kinship, that spark with the audience. So I know that you felt obliged to say a little bit about me saying what I said about making sure that you adhere to the code of who's in charge. But it's just you. You have a special way of being on that stage, and to a degree, a lot of other folks kind of are not there when you're there.
No, it's funny. First of all, thank you for that. I really appreciate that. You know, I mean, I always believe that, you know, my job and my, you know, my reason for being here is to try and convey what I'm feeling and try to convey music to everyone, you know, and if people like it, that's just fantastic. Then that means I'm doing what I'm put here to do, you know. And
yeah.
But yeah, you're right. With the other thing that you said too, sometimes no matter how hard you try to just sit back and support, when it comes time for, you know, you to express a thought or a feeling, sometimes it might be completely different what, you know, the person that you're playing for might have done or might have said. Or, you know, I'm trying to put this very nicely, as you know what I'm saying.
I know.
So sometimes that does, you know, get a little intimidating, and if it does, you know, I apologize for that, but I can't help it. You know, that's me. That's what I do. And, you know, if other people have an issue with it and it draws too much attention, then I can't help that. You know, the only thing that I can help, honestly, is just being true and being honest. And, you know, I don't try to do anything contrived. I've never pretended to be anything more or less than what I am. And, you know, for me, I'm just going to go out there and play the best of my ability. And it's not a thing of money. It's not a thing of who I'm playing for or if I'm doing my own show. When it comes time for me to express myself, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability and try to tap into what I'm feeling at that moment and convey it to the audience as best I can. And if I can reach out there and touch one person, you know, and make one person smile who have had a really bad day, and I can make them smile, then I've done everything that I've set out to do and why I've been put on this planet. So I'm just going to continue to be me and do the best that I can.
And see, that's another aspect of why people gravitate to you so much and love you. It's because you are unassuming. You have a degree of humility, and that doesn't mean to say that you don't have complete confidence and complete control in what you're doing, but you are very aware that you are a cog in the wheel of this universe, and that some people have gifts that enable them to be business people and the heads of companies, and some people have the ability to be a shipping magnet or a secretary, but you have the gift of playing that saxophone and entertaining an audience. That's what you do.
And I try to do it to the best of my ability, that's for sure. You know, I love doing it. You know, I love playing music. I love feeling music. I love conveying music, and I love the response of the audience. Always have, ever since I was a young boy. And, you know, I still feel it to this day. I still feel like a little kid. I was performing last night with Brian Fox, you know, and some great people at a local venue, and the crowd was digging it. And Jeffrey Walker, who is a wonderful vocalist, he was there with us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
Him and I were talking afterwards, and, you know, he came up to me and said, you know, you're my favorite sax player, and you and I just have this connection that we play off of each other so well. And I've known Jeffrey. We've been performing together off and on now for almost 15 years, maybe more than that, actually. And Brian Fox and I have been together about 17 or 18 years off and on, and him and I have the same type of rapport. So, you know, that just goes to show you when you surround yourself with good people, people that are secure with themselves and don't feel intimidated by others, that it's not about, you know, having one-upsmanship. It's a thing of just, you know, coming together and completing a story. One person has something to say about a story. The next person has something to add to the story. A third person might have something to add to the story. It's all about telling a story. You know, and about sharing ideas and having fun and enjoying each other's, you know, personality on stage and off. And that's what I've been trying to do now for the past few years, surround myself with those types of people, because, you know, the one person I'd been touring with for about 9 years kind of left me a little raw. And so I had to resurround myself with, you know, really good, positive people. And, you know, I think that I've grown and I've been the better for it. I really do.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. You, first of all, and I thought about this because we communicated right before you came on to the show. You know, you talk about timing. There are so many of us who absolutely want to see you on the international stage again, because Jared, you belong there. You are world class. But here's the thing. You, for a couple of different reasons, pulled back, and you've got some scenarios at home that must require your attention. So look, did you ever think about it this way? You took yourself out of the mainstream so that you could handle business. And
oh, absolutely.
Look at the gratification that has given you. Look at that.
It's true. You know, I know that things happen for a reason. I know that,
yes.
You know, at the time you may not understand what the reasoning is, but the reasoning, you know, And I'm going to say this, but the universe reveals itself over time. It really does,
mm-hmm.
You know. And the one thing that I've noticed is that, you know, you may not understand why things happened the way they did, you know, but what it does is the universe reveals itself over time and opens up a new scenario saying to you, you know, see, this may have ended, but this has opened up because of it. So,
yes.
You know, it's time, and it takes a lot of, you know, for me, there was a lot of head scratching, you know, and a lot of heartache, and, you know, someone that I thought was one of my best friends, and it just, it was devastating for me. I was devastated for almost 2 years, and
aww.
Couldn't understand why things were happening the way that they were happening, but now I see that all it was the universe preparing me for something that was more important, something that was bigger, something that was viscerally more needed my attention more so. And
oh, for sure.
Now with, you know, my grandfather living here with us, and, you know, us taking care of him, and, you know, just dealing with that part of it. It's been an incredible struggle, but it's also been one of the most enjoyable experiences that I've ever had in my life. Someone
oh, that's
that great. Has been a father to me all of my life and has taken care of me in my younger years, up into my young adolescence, you know, up until, you know, 10 years ago, for goodness sakes. And now I have the gift and the opportunity to help take care of him. It has totally reopened up my heart. It has healed my heart.
Oh,
to
wow.
Really focusing and really putting my energies forward to what really matters in this world, which matters more so than anything else in this world. And, you know, it's made me a better person. Yes, it's been a struggle. Yes, it's been, I mean, frustrating at times. I can't begin to tell you how frustrating it's been at times. However, it opens up my eyes to a lot of things. Like, oh, maybe when I was a younger person and they were taking care of me, maybe they felt this frustration too.
Exactly.
So now it comes full oh, now I understand. Oh, okay, I get it now. So like I said, the universe reveals itself to you and reveals, you know, things to you in its own time. And thank goodness for that, because now at my age and you know, at this part of my position in my life, I'm able to help somebody that needs the help more than I do. And
look at this.
That makes me feel wonderful, and it's helping other people too. So I'm, you know, I'm happy for it.
And you've taken this time, and you've made your grandfather feel comfortable. So now you feel a lot better about doing some dates or putting work into this new project because he's settled. He feels as though he has a home with you. So now you can feel relieved. You can breathe to go about your business and afford him an even better way of life because you are now able to do what it is that you were put on the planet to do. Yay!
I tell you, you know, it's like, you know, I'm sure all the swimmers out there that are listening, you know, can understand this. You know, hold your breath underwater for a certain amount of time. You're swimming underwater, but eventually you have to come up for air. Well, try holding your breath and not being able to exhale or inhale for 2 years. Let me tell you something. It is hard to do. So, yes, now finally with my grandfather being here with us and knowing that he's safe, knowing that he's taken care of, I can finally exhale. I can finally relax. I can finally get rid of some of the worry that I've had over the past few years that have, you know, it sidetracked me from the pain that I was going through from this one artist that I had been touring with for about 9 years. And it gave me something else to focus on, which I desperately needed. But in the same time of me focusing on my grandfather, it was still a lot of stress. It was a lot of just a lot of worry. You know, it was touch and go for a while. You know, wasn't sure if, you know, when he was in the hospital with sepsis. I mean, he's 87 years old. When he was in the hospital with sepsis last year, we thought he was going to die. He almost died a few times.
Oh.
Had to have blood transfusion. Whole bit. It was very difficult to go through, you know, to watch him wither. And then after that, knowing that he couldn't be by himself, you know, we brought him into our home and made sure that that, you know, he's taken care of, he's eating properly, you know, and making sure that he's taking the proper medications. You know, thank God for my wife, Connie, I got to say it. You know, she understands medicine and stuff more so than I do, and she was able to help take control of the reins and you know, really help him to get better fast. And he's doing really well now. And, you know, now, like you said, now I can exhale. Like I'm focusing on Saxes Unleashed. Also, my good friend Attila Molnar, we're getting back into the studio and getting ready to just a local CD, and then my fifth solo effort will be probably in the works at the beginning of autumn, either that or at the beginning of the two.
Oh, I'm really psyched now. Oh my God! And look, this Saxes Unleashed project. You are going to be with some people who really enjoy the creativity and the fun of creating music and making it pop again. So whatever it is that you were involved in, you have gone from, I'll just say this, stale because of your circumstances. You always turned out beautiful work on your own, that is for sure. But you have gone from circumstances that were iffy to a whole breath of fresh air. Isn't that fabulous?
Yeah, it feels really, really good. I got to tell you, you know, it's like, I mean, without it sounding so corny, it's like a rebirth. You know, it feels brand new again, you know, and I'm really excited about it. You know, I still keep my eyes open, you know, and, you know, if something happens to where, you know, God forbid it folds, which I don't think it will. There's too much momentum right now. And, but if it does, then it's just another thing to go through, you know, but,
yeah.
You know, the one good thing is, you know, with going through what I went through over the past few years, I know that I'm going to, you know, come out on top and come out, you know, just basically come out on the other side and know that everything's going to be all right.
Well, I just think God's taking care of you, Jared. That's what I think. I'm just going to throw my 2 cents in there. I do. I think you've got a hand on you, and you were pulled back for a reason, to give you strength, to give you peace, and now you are going to be blazing a trail, and this is going to create such buzz that your ears will be ringing for years.
Well,
for
I hope
sure.
You're right. I hope you're right. I'm keeping my fingers and other bodily appendages crossed. But
God, okay. Woo. Listen, I thought it would be cool and I know that you can only stay till the top of the next hour, and I'm mindful of that, but I wanted to get a song or two in, and I wanted to surprise you.
Sure.
So I went back a few years, and it's funny because I just talked to Gary Granger the other day.
Good.
And it was cool. Yeah. Gary's going to be on the show sometime in September. And we didn't talk for too long, but it made me think about the work that you and Gary have done, my gosh, through the years. And I went back to the Christmas album with you and Merichel and Gary, and I wanted folks to hear your version of River.
Oh, sure. Okay. Sounds good to me.
Because, you know, it's not necessarily a Christmas song. It refers to Christmas. But it's one of those songs, not a lot of people have the right to do this song, Jared. You and Kenny Lattimore do.
Well, thank you. You know, it was one of my favorite songs to do. And, you know, I'd been a kind of a closet Joni Mitchell fan for many, many years. And you know, when I heard it done again, it was remade on another smooth jazz artist CD, and I was asked to sing it, you know, on his show. I just fell in love with it all over again, you know. But once, I think it was on Joni Mitchell's Blue album, if I remember correctly,
yes.
From 19, What was that, 71? 1970?
Oh, wait a minute. I'll tell you in a second. And you know, I say Kenny Lattimore just because of the fact that when a male does the song, it's a whole different kind of feel, you know?
well, it's interesting, you know. I've always been accused of having a pretty high voice when I sing, so it just naturally fell into my range, so, you know.
1971, look at you. Blue, yes.
I knew it was somewhere around there. I'm pretty sure it was 71.
Well, this, in case folks have not heard, and you can see the chat room, it's quite populated today. Thank you very much. and a lot of that has to do with the fact that you're the guest today. If folks have not heard this version of River, let you feast your ears on this, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
No, 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 no. Wish I
such a show off that, Jared. Oh, my God. Woo! That is some happening stuff right there. We were talking in the chat room, and look, inquiring minds want to know. All body parts were secured that day. Nobody was pulling on anything to make you hit those high notes, right?
No. Actually, I said my legal team actually helped me hit that high note. I have a legal team that's the firm of Kick'em Harder and In the Groin. So they help. So.
That is great. Oh, my gosh. When was that year that you did that Christmas album, Jared? Do you recall?
Oh, my goodness. Well, let me think about
this. Going
back
a few years.
This is probably, if I had to guess, we're looking at either 2006 or 2007.
Wow.
It's one of those. So I want to say 2006. I think that's when we recorded it and released it that year.
That's so funny. You know Joni Mitchell's year for Blue more than you know this.
That is true.
Well, look, people, because Matt Williams is in the chat room going, okay, ordering, pre-order, what? So, Matt, now you know that that's a few years old because people will be trying to buy that. And that is a really fine Christmas CD because you've got some ace players on there. That's the thing, Jared. You've always surrounded yourself with really amazing people. How fortunate is that?
I've been very fortunate. I've been very lucky, actually. You know, speaking of Gary Granger, you know, Gary and I came up with this idea of doing this Christmas project and came up with the idea of putting a musical group together called Great Musical Journey. And that was the name of the group that did this. And it was just some of our friends, you know, recording artists, you know, artists in their own right, that just came together and decided to, you know, have a holiday offering. And we, you know, we did a Christmas show pretty much every year for like 4 or 5 years. And until Mighty Chell moved to the West Coast. And
yes.
I'm hoping that she comes back to the East Coast around Christmas time, because if she does, I'm putting her to work. That's for sure.
Oh, good.
But he had some great vocal songs on that album as well. I mean, just an amazing vocalist. And, you know, the good thing with surrounding yourself with great musicians is that, you know, like I was saying earlier, each one has something to say. Musically, spiritually, and being able to just surround yourself with musicians of that caliber and people of that caliber, all it does is just open you up to a totally different world. And I've been very fortunate over the years to, you know, surround myself and be in the family of some, in the company of some really great world-class musicians and just some great people in general. And, you know, I'll always be grateful for that, always.
I'm really happy to hear you say that. You just seem to be so so much more peaceful. So much has transpired, and I love the fact that your grandfather has had so much to do with this, because I relate, Jared. You know, I left Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, with my son, and we moved in with my mom for 2 years. And that just changed my whole perspective, having to take care of her, having to bathe her, and, you know, make sure that she was fed and happy. That's a big thing, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, you know. And, you know, just being able to be there for someone, you know, my grandfather brings a lot to this family. You know, he has his own way of things, and so it shows us that, you know, especially with Connie and myself, I didn't realize how kind of set we are in our ways with, you know, just her and I living here, and then have somebody else come in, move in with us, and then having to adjust. It's a good thing. It's difficult. It's very difficult because there are certain things that you have to do, and you have to basically step out of yourself a little bit to accommodate. But I look at it this way too. My grandfather has the brunt end of it, because for years and years after my grandmother passed away, after his wife passed away in 2001, he's been living by himself. So for him to actually, you know, say, okay, I would like to move in with you guys, that took a lot for him to do. And it's a scary situation, even though he's with family. This is a total life change for him. And it's a life change for us. So this is a good thing. This is very good because now we're a little bit out of our comfort zone. Everybody is. But it's a good thing to be out of your comfort zone. It's a good thing to be out of your comfort zone in music. It's a good thing to be out of your comfort zone in life, you know, because if you get too comfortable, you become complacent. And that's the one thing that I just really, you know, did not want to have happen. And so with my grandfather coming in, it's given me another diversion to focus on, you know, another human being, another life, another entity to focus on besides myself, besides my wife. And it's a good thing, you know. It's good to spread the love, as it were. So, you know, that's. But it's difficult. It's like I said, it's not easy. But nobody in life ever said that, you know, in this world said life was going to be easy. So you know, we're taking it one day at a time, one step at a time, and so far it's working out pretty good.
But you know what? It was necessary, don't you think, Neil?
Oh, absolutely. You know, this was. It was inevitable, and it was a thing that when Connie and I bought the house that we bought, you know, it's a pretty nice size home. It's got, you know, has 5 bedrooms and 3 levels. It's a really nice home, single family home. But we bought it with the premise that in case anything ever happens to any of our patriarchs or matriarchs of the family that are or our sons that live elsewhere, if something happens, they always have a place to come. And that's the reason why we bought such a big home, is absolutely for that reason. And it's come into play. And we've had our home now about 6 years. And, you know, my grandfather's been here, you know, off and on pretty much over the past 2 years. So, but now he's here permanently. And now the house is being used for the reason that we purchased it for. And it's a good feeling, really.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You did well. And in years to come, you are going to be thinking about this time in your life as one of the most special that you've ever had. So I'm talking to you at a time where you're going to remember these memories to the core. This is going to be one of the happier times. And as you said, a lot of people don't get the chance to do what you're doing or what I did. My mother took such great care of me when I was little, and she loved my son with an unconditional love. So when we were able to go back and live with her, she was overjoyed that she had a daughter who was living in the house and essentially gave up one world to be with her to make sure that she was comfortable. And you're doing the same thing. We are blessed to have had that opportunity.
You're right. There's not a lot of people that have that opportunity, and there are so many people out there that would love to have that opportunity but just don't have the means to do it. And, you know, like I said, it's been tough. It's, you know, I'm not going to candy coat it.
You've stressed this.
It's been very tough, but, you know, it's been worth it. Viscerally, and, you know, from a visceral standpoint and from a spiritual standpoint, it's been absolutely worth it. If I had to do it all over again, I'd do it, you know, each and every day of the week and twice on Sunday, you know. So I know that I've made the best decision. Connie and I have made the best decision, and everything is coming to fruition because of it. So it's enriching our lives in ways that we didn't see at first, but now we do.
Well, now here's a question that's sort of left of center. Didn't expect to ask this, but I will. So you're spending a lot of time making things comfortable for grandfather around the house, and you've been inside your own head. I know that you love music. Are you listening to a particular artist, or are you listening to a certain kind of music these days that maybe has taken you by surprise? Is something making you feel comfortable or peaceful? You find yourself focusing or gravitating to it?
Well, I tell you, from a musical standpoint, I think I'd mentioned this before, one of the music genres I've been listening to a lot lately has been country. You know, I know a lot of people are going to look at me and and say, country? Are you crazy? You play saxophone. What are you listening to country for? And I like the stories. You know, I like the stories in a lot of the country music. Vince Gill is one of my all-time favorite vocalists. You know, and it's even,
yes.
I've even incorporated, you know, in my show, I've incorporated a country song. I've incorporated his version of Whenever You Come Around. You know, it's in my range.
Have you? Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It's in my vocal range, and I love singing it, and that's the one now, even over Sarah Smile, a lot of people are now requesting me to do that song on the shows because that's just, you know, I have a love for that song. You know, and it reminds me of course, Connie. And, you know, I just, Vince Gill sings. I love the way he plays. He was one of the very first country artists that I ever saw back in the early 90s at the Patriot Center years and years ago. And I went with a promoter in the area to go and see him, who this promoter was booking jazz for the smooth jazz radio station that we had at that time. And but he loved country music and asked if I wanted to go to a country show. And I said, sure, I've never been. I'd love to. And, you know, I really love it. You know, I love the stories. I love the fact that there's real musicianship. It's, to me, the only genre, if you listen to all of the music of today, and, you know, I'm not taking anything away from R&B. I'm not taking anything away from rock or rap or any of the other stuff out there, but it is so vocally driven that with me being a saxophonist first, I miss the days where a band or a vocalist would sing a song, and then all of a sudden you'd hear a solo, whether it be a keyboard solo, a guitar solo, a sax solo, whatever it may be. All of that's disappeared. It's all the music is so overproduced that it's like vocal here, vocal there, and just, you know, loop rhythms and beats and, you know, weird sounds. But country music still has that same formula that sounds so good. Sounds so good. And you'll hear a country song, and then here comes a guitar solo. Here comes a violin solo. I'm sorry, a fiddle solo.
Yeah, what, Jerry? Come on now.
Right, I know. Here comes a steel guitar solo. But the fact that they respect the musicians as much as they respect themselves by saying, okay, here's a recording, here it is on the radio, and you still get a chance to hear a solo, that means everything to the musician. And to me, it's the only genre that does that anymore. And so that's why I've really gravitated myself to listening to the musicianship, you know, in country music, listening to the vocalists in country music, and listening to the stories in particular. I mean, the stories are everything to me.
Oh, listen, you're talking to a woman who was involved in country music from 1976 until T was a baby. So I know. And back in the day when I got involved in the 70s in country music, Jared, that was primo. That was the George Joneses, the Charlie Prides, the Tammy Wynettes, Johnny Rodriguez. The songs were so crafted that it would leave you weeping. I mean, you know George Jones, the Grand Tour, and He Stopped Loving Her Today. And
right.
Then a little bit later, if anybody wants to study what world-class harmony sounds like, go back to Vince Gill and Patti Loveless doing When I Call Your Name.
Right.
Whoa, I just got a chill saying it because you know, Jared, that's heart and soul right there.
Right, absolutely. You know, and like I said, I'm not taking anything away from any of the other genres. I mean, the way that I look at it, if it's good music, it's good music, and I'll listen to it and I'll enjoy it. But, you know, even people that say, okay, well, you know, I like everything, I kind of beg to differ. You know, I'll be the first one to not candy coat anything. I don't like everything. There's certain styles of music that I will not listen to because it doesn't appeal to me, and I don't like it. You know, I won't say what they are. I'll keep that to myself. But, you know, that's my right. That's what I believe in. And if something, you know, speaks to my heart, then I'll listen to it. If it doesn't speak to my heart, then I'm not going to waste time on it. I'm going to switch to something that does, you know, speak to my heart. And You know, that's what I do. And right now, country music is what's doing it for me. So, and of course, other thing outside of music, oddly enough, I've got a new passion in life with billiards, with pool.
Yes.
You know? That's another thing through my, through my grandfather, who's still at 87 years of age. He's a wonderful one pocket player. And that game's a little too hard for me. So, so I'm on different leagues, and I play. Getting ready to come out with my amateur ranking, and I'm planning on going pro within the next year or two. So we'll see what happens. But right now, that is another thing that's I'm listening to the beautiful music of pool, and giving me a different diversion and a different source of passion, and I love it. Absolutely love it.
That is awesome. And so I take it that you've been playing for a while, but you just kind of laid low about saying anything to anybody, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's, I was playing back in the early 90s a little bit, and I really loved playing the game. And, I was on a nine ball league through APA. But then I got away from it. I kind of left it alone for like maybe 15 plus years. And then when my grandfather moved in with us, I started taking him because he couldn't drive at that time. I started taking him to Galaxy Billiards, which is in Silver Spring, Maryland. I used to take him to visit some of his friends during the day so that he could play one pocket with his friends. And then I broke out an old pool cue that he gave me that's a beautiful 45-year-old original Palmer cue that's in mint condition. So I started, shooting again. And I got to tell you, I just got the itch again, and then I started some research and playing again, and I joined. And now I'm on two leagues. I'm on I'm with the BCA, which is the Billiards Congress of America pool league, an eight-ball league that I do every Monday night. And starting tonight, I'm with the United States Professional Pool Players Association, with a league, an eight-ball league at Galaxy Billiards, actually starting tonight. And through them, I've graduated up to the UPA, and now I'm going after my professional amateur ranking. And so that should happen within the next, hopefully within the next year.
It's a good doggone thing this is not Skype, because I am smiling. I look stupid. I'm just smiling because you have such a new lease on life. You are so pleasantly busy, and so there's so much hope about the things to come. This is really wonderful. I'm so glad that you had the time to talk today, because so many people love you and were wondering what was going on, because, you have been quiet. 2012, you were vocal about a couple of things. God bless you for that. And I'll never forget our little political conversations we had.
Oh, yeah.
Woo, Lord. But now it's a whole different kind of feel, and it just seems like a more serene time. The reflection has been done, and there are monumental things ahead. I'm tickled. I'm your friend, and I'm tickled.
Well, thank you. Like I said, it's been one heck of a journey so far, and I just recently picked up a new saxophone endorsement through a good friend of mine named Ken Beeson, who's a wonderful repair technician out in North Carolina, over in North Carolina, Greensboro. And he helped design a saxophone for a company called Mac Sax. And they took me on as an artist. And then all of a sudden through pool, now I've got a sponsorship from Predator Cues, and, through Kamui Tips. And, so good. Things are, beginning to, things are beginning new ventures are beginning to rear their heads now, which I'm really happy about. And I feel like I've got a new lease on life. It's a good feeling.
I'm so glad. And tell your grandfather that we send our collective love, because you've got a lot of love in the chat room right now. So make sure that he gets his hugs in, because that's pretty special to have all of this good news for you being shared with your grandfather who's still with you. So if anybody is thrilled for you, there's not a person in the world besides Connie who's more so than your granddad.
Absolutely, you know, and you know, he's my father, you know. My father wasn't around, but he was, and he really is my dad. So you know, I'm very fortunate. I'm very fortunate that he's still around. And the one thing I'm really fortunate about is my wife, Connie. God love her. She is a true angel and has supported this all the way and never said anything bad. She's had the patience of Job, and she's just an absolute angel. She really is. I could not do this without her. I could not.
Connie, listen, if there is going to be a man on earth who wants the definition of a faithful wife, a pit bull wife, let me tell you or show you a picture of Connie.
Oh, yeah.
She has been so devoted to you for such a while, and I'm so tickled to hear you say that, because it's just phenomenal, the teammanship that you have with your wife. That's fabulous.
I've never met anybody quite like her, you know, and of course, you know, having people like you too. By the way, I hear this is your second anniversary of the show. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
I can't believe we've been talking all this time, and this is your second anniversary. I mean, you know, having somebody like you in my life is like having Connie in my life. You know, you've been a huge advocate of mine for years, and you've always supported my music. You've come out to my shows. I mean, no matter how far away they are, you know, and I can't thank you enough, Trish. You know, the world needs more people like you in it, you know, and
aww,
I'm just really grateful to know you. You know, you're another, Connie's a love of my life, and you're another love of my life in a different way, you know, and
aww,
I really appreciate friendship more than you know.
Bless your heart. Look, the fact of the matter is, Jared, if you weren't so bloody good, you are one of the most fantastic musicians I know, and so versatile. It's easy to do this. I mean, apart from the idea, okay, this, truth be told, you are incredible. But yes, I really love you as a person, and the personality that you have, the love in your heart for people, the good intentions that you have in your heart, and then you combine that with your incredible talent. I don't have any choice. That's the truth.
Thanks. Appreciate that, Trish. Thank you so much, honey.
You are so welcome. And you go off, because I know you got to do your thing, and we'll leave folks with Dancing With You from Manhattan Nights, if that's okay by you.
Sounds great to me.
All right. And listen, please come back when things are more established. If you want to, we'll have Bruce on, we'll have Brad on, and who's ever in the project. That'll be fun.
That sounds great. You know, and just to let people know, you know, if they want to come and see me perform anytime soon, just go to my website. It's jared.com. It's jared.com. And come out and see me perform. And if anybody wants to see me, you know, perform at pool, I play at Galaxy Billiards every Monday and Thursday night. Galaxy Billiards is in Silver Spring, Maryland. You can look up the address anywhere on the web. And I usually am on the league from 7:30 until about 10 o'clock at night. And, you know, spectators are more than welcome. And if anyone out there like Matthew Williams, who wants to challenge me to play, wants to come out, they can play me afterwards, because I have the tables until close. So I'll be more than happy to shoot pool with anybody that wants to come and hang out and have a good time.
Oh, my God. You and Matt together. I'm so scared. Let's not even think about that. That is awesome. Yeah, and I'll make sure folks know again about jared.com, because if folks don't necessarily know the spelling of that, it's A-A-R-E-D. So it's very cool spelling. You're very unique in a multitude of ways. Now go and do your thing.
Will do. Thank you for having me on, Trish, and happy anniversary again to you, sweetie.
Thank you so much. And my love to Connie, please, Jared.
I certainly will. Take care of yourself.
All right.
Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Jared, he's my buddy. And look, this is the perfect song to end this particular segment of Hybrid Jazz, because it's just one of those, you can almost see the story unfold when you hear the song from Manhattan Nights, Dancing with You on Hybrid Jazz. Hybrid Jazz. Same time as you. Woo! Ain't No Way from Tracy's new This Is My Life CD. It is her birthday on this very day. We are recording this August 22nd. Nobody needs to be telling or asking Tracy how old she is. I think she's one of those women. She's my good friend. We haven't really discussed this. I'm free about saying my age. I'm not saying how old Tracy is. That is up to her. She's ageless, all right? But that is a song that is certainly ageless, is it not? Written by Carolyn Franklin, Aretha Franklin's sister. Carolyn gave it to Sis. You know the rest of that story. It was on the B-side of 1968, Since You've Been Gone. Oh, my God, standing the test of time. So beautiful. And Tracy, I love this girl so much. There was a huge surprise party over the weekend. Her devoted husband, Nat, he spent about a year making sure this came to pass. Folks came in from Alabama. Folks came in from Atlanta to Virginia, and she was just tripping. So I could not go because I had to be in Bethesda at a certain time handling some business and then coming over to see Chuck Loeb and Everett Harp and Jeff Lorber. So I missed out on the birthday, but she's not going to miss out on a celebration. Guarantee it. She's going to be September the 8th on a Sunday at the Carlisle Club in Virginia. Please go to TracyHamlin.com to find out more. Happy birthday, Tracy. We love you mightily. Cedar Walton, we heard in the middle of that three-song set. Cedar Walton, another keyboardist that we have lost within a month's time, and it hurts. Now, we can't really say that he did not live a long time. He was 79 when he passed on the 19th. But it just weighs heavily for those folks who have been involved in jazz for a long time, as he has been. NEA Jazz Master, played at the Village Vanguard frequently in New York, worked with the best of his time. John Coltrane, Art Blakey, Billie Holiday, Dizzy Gillespie, was part of the Jazz Tet. And it's just so funny how these things come to pass, because I just posted yesterday the photo from 1958, A Great Day in Harlem. And there was Benny Golson. There was Art Farmer, whose birthday memory was yesterday. They're at the top of that photo. And Cedar Walton got a chance to work with those guys and was part of that whole assembly of talent at that time, where folks just gathered together. There was no sub-genres at all in jazz. I mean, people were playing bebop and folks were experimenting, but it was all jazz, and it was all good. It was all good. And Cedar Walton, like so many of those cats and kitties, three women in that picture, we'll get to that later. He just wanted to play. He was so good. Folks have been continually inspired by him. What you heard was from 1980, from Soundscapes. Wasn't that a kickin' tune called Sixth Avenue? Let me just tell you some personnel that were on here, okay? Oh, my God. On the album, Freddie Hubbard, Bob Berg, Cedar playing piano and part of the production team, Emmanuel Boyd, Tony Dumas, Al Foster. Cedar did the arranging. Just a beautiful thing, Freddie Hubbard on that. Oh, my gosh. You just have to pick up Soundscapes, honestly, because it's one of those treasures that launched a decade that was full of treasures. I could go on and on and on. Jared, we heard Jared too, and Dancing With You from Manhattan Nights. And I'm going to get to these calls. Thank you, Jared. You know I love you. Everybody in the chat room loves you, honest and truly. We've talked to Jared, maybe this is no joke, 7 or 8 times now in the course of a few years. Always a pleasure to talk to him. Now, I know the 313 area code, not the 972, so we'll go with 313 first. E, I know this is you. Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Just fine. Just fine. Heard somebody got 2 years on their anniversary.
Oh, yeah. How about that? Isn't that crazy? You were here at the beginning.
Yeah. But, I mean, it don't even feel like 2 years, to be honest with you. Just flown on by.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like 2 years. It just feels like things have flown. But, man, kind of 87,000 hits later. That is so crazy. When I go to the statistics report on Blog Talk Radio and I see, what? And Jared didn't know, but when Jared and Christian Dimasonis and Elliot Levine were here for the show a month or so ago, they had like 1,800 hits just for that show alone. That's nuts.
Not surprised, though. I mean, just really, you kind of had the vision for it. So, I mean, just to see it, just to see and hear that it pays off like that for you. I mean, that's always a great thing.
Well, Albert, I gotta tell you, it was just God whispering in my ear, and he really, literally said at one point, "Get up off your duff and get this show a moving." Just like Jeff Golub and Brian Auger are saying, train keeps rolling. You got to get this thing on track. So it was just divinely inspired. That may sound corny to some people, but it's the truth, and you know it's the truth, E.
And of course. I mean, I kind of got the same fire lit under me, you know, years ago, just short years ago. I mean, CI3, that's what came with that. That's what came with that, you know, after I took a little time out. I got back with my music partner, and that's how I went. And now I'm kind of on some other plans musically. Still working on that as we speak. But even said, but hey, this ain't about me or necessarily CI just yet. We'll get to that later. But I definitely wanted to come in here and definitely congratulate you on 2 years and first two of many going for you. And we definitely plan to be back with you real soon.
That's awesome. And yes, I do want to be in the loop about what you're doing musically. And you know, now that I've talked to you, we'll just plan our next show accordingly. It's going to be real cool because next Tuesday, Veronica Nunn will be back talking about what's happening with her podcasts and introducing a new song. So that's going to be a special show, and I'll make sure that you are in that mix.
All right, no doubt. No doubt. But again, congratulations to you. Hey, all the best to you continually.
Thank you, E. That means a lot. Your words are gifts because I know where they come from. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, good. Continue to hang in the chat room, will you?
Of course.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
No, that.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right.
All right, now 972, you've been hanging. 972, enter and sign in, please. Hello?
Yes.
Hello, who's
hey,
this?
Hey, Trish. Hey, Trish.
Hi, I'm getting an echo.
Okay, let me turn some of this stuff down. This is Ray Mack over here.
Hey, Ray, look at you. How are you?
I'm doing good, doing good.
Okay,
I had
well,
a hard
well,
time
what?
Getting in this chat room.
Oh, you did? Well, I don't know what the deal is. It does appear to be standing room only today, so I apologize kind of for that.
Yeah, well, I'm in there now.
Good,
and,
yeah.
I'm sitting here looking at Gino on Uvu, and he's laughing at me. I thought I would just go ahead and get a little sprinkle on him before he come in on his interview.
Well, hopefully you can wait a little bit because let me see how far away we are. We're not that far away, but I want you guys to keep hanging with me so that you get a feel for what's going on here.
Well, I got a feel of it. I like what I'm hearing over there and everything,
I'm glad.
You know. And, I see that you're getting ready to play one of the IAF artists, new sound with Gary Fuston on there.
You know what? This
yes,
might
ma'am?
Be actually a good time, Ray. You know what I might do? I might switch things up a little bit. If Gino is still here, maybe I'll give him a call, and maybe I'll get.
I'm looking at him right now.
Are you? Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking
at
him on Uvu right now. Throwing up his head. Yeah.
Well, it might be wonderful to get you both on the hook here, and I'll get into the song sooner rather than later. How's that?
That sounds like a winner, doesn't it?
Okay. Well, listen, while I'm writing down his number, because I'm going to call him, you tell us what's happening with you, because there's a lot that is going on with IAF.
Well, we're going to do a mini tour on September the 21st in Oklahoma City at the U.S. At the Jazz Lab. And
cool.
I think it's going to go pretty well, you know. We're just waiting on that, you know, so we can start proving ourselves as independent artists. So we can get out there and grab some of those sponsors.
Yeah.
And, you know, because this will be the first for anything that's doing with the independent artists. And we need to get out there and recognize them more.
Absolutely.
You know, because it's a whole slew of them out there. And the thing is that they're not being actually recognized except on internet radio. We need the public to know about them.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's been, you know, we can see the light at the end of the tunnel as far as the economy is concerned now. But, you know, these independent artists have put blood, sweat, and tears into their efforts, just like you have in trying to get the effort started.
Well, yeah, you know, it's been really a tough going. But, you know, at the end, you know, the proof is going to be in the pudding.
Yep. I hear that.
Yep, the proof is going to be in the pudding. And I appreciate you coming over being a affiliated with the IAF.
Well, of course. Look, you know what? It's an absolutely worthwhile effort. And you are so passionate about making sure that folks get recognized, and I love that. So anything I can do to help, because independent artists mean the world to me, Ray. No joke. You know that.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, Trish, you just keep doing what you're doing, and we over here, we definitely going to keep doing what we do.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because it seems like good people are working closely together. And, Gino, you better know I'm calling you right now so you can get on the horn with us.
Oh, hold on, let me... Yeah, I guess he's picking up now.
Okay, let's see.
Hello, Trish Henderson.
Hey, Gino, how are you?
Doing great.
Yes, are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
now look, we were talking about some kind of sundae today or some kind of cake, and we were talking about cherries on top and then sprinkles. And I said, in Philly, we usually call them Jimmy's, but for this show today, we're calling them Gino's.
Well, you have to put that on Ray Mack, because he always talks about me the way I describe a song. So I was just speaking on that.
Well, the way you write songs is pretty doggone cool. You want to tell me about the situation with Just Don't Want Another Broken Heart, because you know I fell in love with that song.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. That was a song that Gary Fuston and I, we had started working on earlier, and then he always takes me on a journey with his ideas and stuff, so I just kind of wrapped a lot of rhythms around it and just tried to make the song real colorful.
You did. I was seeing colors. I thought I was back in the 60s and I was tripping or something. Whoa. And then you did that beautiful logo that took me by surprise when you were talking about the song being on the show today. It's really beautiful. I mean, you and you, Gary are no strangers to writing songs together. You know, tell folks a little bit about your background for folks who are new to hearing about the amazing Gino.
Well, I started out when I was in college playing with a band called Brown Sugar, which was a lot of guys that was from Memphis, Chicago, and West Coast. And so we sort of blended a lot of different styles together. And that was a band I learned a lot from, and some great musicians at the time. And so then I also, after that, I got with a real good show band at the time. It was called Portrait Band. And so we started touring and had the opportunity to meet a lot of big-time acts, and we opened for a lot of acts like Gap Band, Rick James, Bettina Marie, and you know, people like that during that heyday. So I had opportunity to meet a lot of great musicians, Barcades, Cameo, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Wow. Wow. I'm digesting all this, really. That's some kind of resume.
Well, yeah. I was just really blessed that I was, you know, back there in that time when it was so-called, we call it real music.
Oh, I hear that. Yeah. Well, you know, we could go on for days about 60s, 70s, 80s music and differentiation today. And you know the conversations, you and Ray both, about artists who talk about what fun it is to be in the studio and actually have live musicians in the studio as opposed to calling it in, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's what it's really all about. You know, once you got those live in there and there's nothing electronically, you know, that makes a world of difference.
Oh, yeah.
You got that live sound coming out of that studio.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, because it's all about the camaraderie and the fun of the different instruments. And, you know, if you can be in a situation where you're all looking at one another, that's just like the thrill you get when you're playing live on stage somewhere.
Well, that's very true. And, you know, like I said, you know, about them orchestrating that, you know, with that live sound, you know, and I think their music would definitely go a lot further than, you know, basically doing an electronic sound and sweetening it with electronics and stuff. But, you know, you got that loud sound, but you use electronics to also sweeten it up a little bit more, too. But you still got that essence of a loud sound. And that's the key.
It's a beautiful thing. Man, when it all comes together. Woo! And, Gino, this really did. Tell folks where they can get a hold of this track because they'll want to have it after they hear it. Where can we go to buy Just Don't Want Another Broken Heart?
GinoGolf.com. And after today, it'll be on CD Baby, iTunes, Rhapsody, Amazon, and all the social media stations, so they'll be able to get it.
Yay! Wow, good timing for us to play it then. Yay, I like that.
It's almost like an exclusive. I'm really glad. I love your show, by the way.
Aw, thank you so much. It's good to have both of you on because there's this tie-in. Gino, you're in association with what Ray is doing at IAF. And now I'm part of the IAF family, so we're just making sure that one another is taken care of. That's what we have to do.
Yay! Well, I tell you one thing, Chris. I'm really excited about the IAF festival that we got going on because it gives you an opportunity to meet a lot of good musicians. And it's a lot of indie musicians out there who's got some really good music. And I'm so blessed that Ray formed that and got everybody together, which is sort of difficult and sort of hard with everybody being branched out like that. But these guys are some great musicians, you know, Gary, Yvonne Jay, George Spencer, Maurice, Walter. So it's a very good group. Sam Hankins. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, Sam Hankins. Yeah, he's another special guy that I had a chance to communicate with a little bit. We'll do some more of that. And I really wish the best for you, Gino. We're going to play the track. And Ray, thank you for calling too, because it's good to know how it all ties in. So I appreciate you both very much.
One thing
Thanks,
we
Chris.
Forgot. We forgot Terry Tuck, and we also forgot Rodney.
I'm sorry.
You're bad, Gino. That's your bad. Now, you can't say when you cannot say now when on GHP radio that do we forgot somebody. But
yeah, well,
forgot
I think
somebody
I'd be pretty good. I think
show.
I'd be pretty good. You're my backup, so thank you.
Okay. Get him in there, Ray. Make sure you get everybody in who's supposed to be in there.
Well, yeah, that's my job.
Okay, I know it, because there will be H-E-double-L to pay if you don't, you know.
That's right. That is right.
Well, thank you, guys, and we'll see each other down the road, and God knows we'll be talking to each other, so I'm really glad we had the time. That's great.
All right, then we're going to finish joining the show now.
All right,
you
good.
You have a good
Yay.
One, Trish.
You too, Ray. Right. Thanks. And thanks, okay. Gino, for letting me share the song.
Okay, thank you, Trish. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah. I like this. This is, and you know, I'm always a big bugaboo for finding out the different pronunciations of names. So, you know, you hear different people pronounce names, but you have to find out from the source. So I called my sister friend, Griselda Medina, and asked her, how do you pronounce Gary's last name? So, I'm going to let you know that Gino Goss and Gary Fustin wrote this song, Just Don't Want Another Broken Heart, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, which sort of reminds me, this song, of a little combination of Prince, Terrence Trent D'Arby, and Chuck Mangione. You see what you think. Wanted to go back in time so badly, especially after Gino's song. Oh my God, that was so much fun. William Devon, let me tell you about this. There's a lot of music we want to get to. We really do, because I see Shannon. Shannon Kennedy's in the chat room. Woohoo! Shannon and her wonderful partner in life and in crime, Unam, are going to be on the show next week. Veronica Nunn's going to be with us on Tuesday, and then next Thursday, Unam and Shannon. And I'll tell you why, because they've got a new little project, and it's not so little. Man, I heard the music the other day. It blew my mind. Oh, I didn't know where I was, and that's a fact, and Shannon knows that. Let's go back to William Devon from 1972. That's when he recorded it. It was released in 1974. William Devon was a drafting technician working for the government. Now, Casey Kasem said that he was actually a sewer designer. He wrote this song that was originally called "A Cadillac Don't Come Easy." How about it, Ray? That was the name of the song, and then it became "Be Thankful for What You Got," and he put $900 into development of the song. That's what folks did then. It made its way eventually to the folks at Sigma Sound in Philadelphia. Woohoo! And MFSB, Mother, Father, Sister, Brother, the house band, congregated and did a number on the song, as you can tell. And in 1974, in its release, it sold over 2 million copies. William Devon from the Washington, D.C. area, and I shouldn't even be smiling, but for those of us in this region, Baltimore, D.C., oh, we learned the hard way so much. Oh, we have some of the best music on the planet in this region, but some of us have learned that we need to make deals in the best way that we know how and seek expertise. So that did not happen, and William did not get the money he was supposed to get for that. And I think that he's back working for the government, or maybe he never left. There was a couple of follow-ups that were done, but nothing, of course, of the magnitude of that song, which remains an anthem for so many people. You know that. Phew, 1974. We were just talking about how wonderful tunes were made back in the day. Everybody getting together and making sure you had the best of the best, MFSB. Nothing needs to be said after that. We also heard Gino Goss, Just Don't Want Another Broken Heart. Gino has a blog spot. He's on Reverb Nation. You can find your way into buying that tune by going to his blog spot. He's also on Facebook and also on Twitter. Just happened to notice that today, Gino. Good. I'm glad we had a chance to talk. Yay. I promised another gentleman who's listening today that I was going to play his song. It hadn't crossed my mind that it was 10 minutes. It's okay. I just fell in love with this song called Nubian Princess. This is another feel of jazz. This is what we do on Hybrid Jazz. We want to make sure that everybody's feel for the genre gets a little focus. And this is something I just loved. This is one of those guys, Darryl Yokley is his name. His sound reformation is part and parcel of the beauty of this CD called The Void. Got a 5-star review from Critical Jazz. Darryl plays saxophone, he plays flute, clarinet, composer, arranger, educator, and one of those young men that when you hear him, you take a step back. It's like that. So let us just play this song and let you drift into your own zone on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. A lot of great music on the way. Thank you. Is that good stuff? Oh, my God. Oh, I was reminded of the TV show, and maybe somebody can fill me in, showing my age here, because it was a while ago. Hey, it was the Bob Newhart show that was out many years ago, but there was a guy named Daryl who would always come with his other brother, Daryl. So we had two Daryls, and then we had a song in between. That was fun. Daryl F. Walker. Handsome, capable, fabulous, oh my God, singer, sax man, songwriter, percussionist, and thank God that Greg Adams found Daryl Walker, because it changed each of their lives, and East Bay Soul is the better for it. But Daryl's got this EP out now called Hold Me, and what you just heard, if it sounds familiar to you, yes, indeed, you do. Hard Habit to Break. 1984, Chicago 17. Bill Champlin and Pete Cetera took turns going back and forth on that song. One of those songs, I mean it, I could not listen to it for the longest time. It was just too painful. But Daryl had a way of bringing me back. And credit is due to Steve Koepner and John Lewis Parker for writing the song. When you have writers who write a song like that, and then you're putting it in the capable, gilded throat of someone like Daryl Walker, it's just really amazing. And when you have a producer who produced it originally by David Foster, it made it memorable, and it was really close to Daryl Walker's heart, so he had to record it for this EP, which is doing very well. If you want to go to darylfwalker.com, you will learn a lot more, and you will see his handsome face. He's just a wonderful human being and an excellent talent. Kenny Barron, woo, from 1995 with Roy Haynes and Charlie Hayden. Sail Away, a Tom Harrell song that's on Wanton Spirit. Ooh, I like to say that. Kenny is doing a tour. He just turned 70. Full steam ahead, baby. He's on the road with Kiyoshi Kitagawa, who I saw with Kenny at the Baltimore Museum of Art a year or so ago. Mind-blowing. And then they're going to be touring with Lee Pearson, based in Baltimore, D.C., one of the most profound drummers in the world. If you get a chance to see Kenny Barron, let me tell you, any legend, and he is, please go, please do not hesitate. Please do not be like those of us who say, oh, I'll get a chance to see him someday, or her, and then never get that chance, because we are finding out how fragile life is, aren't we? Man, it's something else. Kenny Barron and company, and then Daryl Yokley. I just want to tell you a little bit about Daryl, California born and raised, one of these young guys who has put such value into education. Seriously, he has. At 14, he went to North Carolina. He was tutored there by some of the best, found himself in Pittsburgh at Duquesne University, got another series of educational experiences there. Then he went to Michigan State for more. Oh, no, he's not done. And then he comes to Philadelphia where he plays with, you ready? The Four Tops, Temptations, and the OJs. Okay! And then he moved to New York in 2009, and yet he wants to play in Baltimore, D.C. Just a wonderful man, and The Void is the name of the five-star project that he has just done in 2012, and his Sound Reformation are the folks that are backing him up. I just want to focus on Daryl right now because there's a lot of names I could throw at you. But if you go to Daryl Yokley, YOKLEY.com, you're going to find out all you need to know. Nubian Princess is the track that we heard. Now, I just want to let you know that Shannon Kennedy, bless her heart, is with us in the chat room. A lot of people are. It's just really fabulous this day, and I'm thinking that one of the reasons why is that it's the two-year anniversary of Hybrid Jazz. We're just celebrating all month. What can I say? And I'm looking for a track that I thought I'd put into the mix, and if I didn't, I'm just going to go find it while another track is playing and make sure you hear some good stuff, because Shannon Kennedy and UNAM have teamed together for a beautiful little pairing called Nivo Dieu. I love that. It's French because of UNAM. Yeah. So I'm looking, and I'm not finding it. So what I'm going to have to do is play another track. And we've got some tracks. Matter of fact, the remainder of this time is being devoted to the ladies. Yeah, that's what I wanted to do. So I'm just going to go and just check this out to see how dumb I was. Because usually I do all the crossing of the T's and dotting of the I's. But if I missed one, oh well. Let's just see. Let's just see. How about if we go to something new again, relatively new? Yeah, by Terry Lynn Carrington and her company, Christian McBride and Gerald Clayton. A little updo of what Duke Ellington and Max Roach and Charlie Mingus did back in the 60s. Money Jungle was the name of that original project. TLC, who just celebrated her birthday, by the way, sort of updates the Money Jungle into slash provocative and blue. And this is called Very Special on Hybrid Jazz with a brand new duo up next. Thank you. Hybrid Jazz.
She's the queen of the wrong thing, waiting for her fill.
Oh my gosh, it's been a while since I heard it. Queen of the Wrong Thing. Carenza Gray wrote that song, and it's from her CD called Bliss, which is an absolute delight. Oh my gosh. She and hubby went to Nashville. She trekked on down there from Pennsylvania to make sure this was done right. Produced by Eric Copeland for Next Level Jazz and Creative Soul Jazz. She's got a lot of soul, in case you hadn't ever heard me say this. When they had the last Billie Holiday vocal competition at Artscape in Baltimore, Carenza Gray won the competition. It's not that you had to sound like Billie Holiday. It's just that the judges had to determine if you were worthy to follow in those footsteps. Woo! Pretty heavy stuff. Carenza had some inspiration for this CD, and she freely shared that when she was with us on Hybrid Jazz. This is going back some months ago, when she was thinking about what she wanted to do with this CD, she allowed herself to observe. One of the places that she observed was called Bliss, which was one of those clubs that you never forget. Oh, just beautiful. It was just up the road from where I am doing this right now in Harford County in Maryland. And the two people who were running Bliss were absolutely evolved, fully engaged, beautiful human beings. The best food in the world, the best coffee, the best selection of wines, the best kinds of people, all different kinds of rainbow people collecting in this strip shopping center where there was free parking. So you could look out the window and see your car and you didn't have to pay for it. Oh, it was just so fabulous, and it did not last. And just one of the signs of the economic times, but it fueled Carenza enough to name the CD after Bliss. And one of the other inspirations was checking out a couple of her single female friends, Renee and Trish. And she would see us in the clubs, and she got this idea that maybe we were looking for the wrong thing. Maybe what we wanted to find was right in our backyard. Someday we'll have more of a conversation about that with Carenza, but there's a couple of songs on here that may reflect those feelings. If you want to pick it up, KarenzaGray.com. G-R-A-Y and K-E-R-E-N-S-A. Karenza is at the Tasting Room Wine Bar in Bethesda tonight. And she is frequently at the Cultured Pearl and Rehoboth Ale House in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. So if you get a chance to see her, she is fabulous to watch in person. We also heard Nebo Dew, brand new, Shannon Kennedy and UNAM. UNAM was our guest some months ago when Weekend in L.A. first popped on the scene, and really close to Yu's heart now because it featured his good friend and mine, George Duke. So I know that will always mean something special to him. UNAM was just in the D.C. area, actually in Bethesda, where Karenza is tonight. There was a couple of things that I wanted to do over the weekend. UNAM is also in this super group, Graffiti. Oh, my God, I could go on for days about that group just because of the musicianship involved. Best in guitar, keyboard, bass, and drums. Dennis Chambers from Baltimore, one of the best in the world, who plays with Santana, a part of that ACE coalition. You, I promise you, I am not going to miss another show, but sister girl can only do so much with so much money. You know what I mean? So, enter Nivo Dew, N-I-V-O-D-E-U-X. What you heard was Love's No Distance from the Next Level EP. Shannon and UNAM are going to be with us next week. We want to hear a whole bunch more about how this came to be and the spark between them, obviously, because they're married, but the musical spark as well. The music is just so poppin', such a hybrid of their love for the 80s, what they hear in their heads as far as jazz is concerned, what is energized and unique, what is original and authentic, all of that. And I love Shannon. She doesn't know this, but I do, just because of the fact that she is a beautiful young woman. And she is a mentor to so many, she has no idea. If you go to teenjazz.com, you will find out how much of a mentor she is, because she wants young people to figure out the ropes, and she wants to give them a hand on the way up. I love that about Shannon, and we'll find out more about that next week when they're on the show next Thursday. Yay! Wasn't that song hot? Love's No Distance from the Next Level. Guitar and saxophone. Just love the combination so much. We heard, too, Terry Lynn Carrington, Money Jungle, Provocative in Blue. And that whole project came to be because Terry Lynn, who has been inspired for years, and she was inspired especially by Max Roach on drums. In turn, how many people do you figure she's inspired? Oh, we could go on and on. That particular conglomeration, Gerald Clayton taking the part of Duke Ellington, Christian McBride taking the part of Charles Mingus, and Terry Lynn taking the part of Max Roach. Just amazing. And on this album, among others, is one of Terry Lynn's strong mentors, Clark Terry, another one of those legends that if we can possibly even sit at his feet and learn so much about what the business has been, what music has been through the years, and what it's meant to him, that would be great. Somebody wrote, I think it was allmusic.com, about Terry Lynn and the Mosaic Project, genre blurring. That's really cool, and I want Shannon to take note of that. Genre blurring. Isn't that fabulous? Yeah. Let's play a couple of tunes. We're going to have time for a few more, and I want to make sure we play something by Marion McPartlin, who just passed away at the age of 95. You talk about legendary. First, someone else who was so revered in the musical community of jazz. She is stretching her wings and flying, the educator, the profound keyboardist, Jerry Allen from Grand River Crossings, Motown, and Motor City Inspirations. her hometown of Detroit, gets a little bit of buzz here. But this right here is Let It Be on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Enjoy. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz.
I'm feeling mighty lonesome. Haven't slept a wink. I walk the floor and watch the door, and in between I drink black coffee. Love's a hand-me-down brew. I'll never know a Sunday in this weekday room. I'm talking to the shadows, 1 o'clock to four, and Lord, how slow the moments go when all I do is pour black coffee. Since the blues caught my, I'm hanging out on Monday, my Sunday dreams to dry. Now a man is born to go a loving. Morning, all the night, and in between it's nicotine and not much heart to fight. Black coffee. It's driving me crazy, this waiting for my baby to maybe come around. My nerves have gone to pieces, my hair is turning gray. Since my man's gone away.
Woo! Yeah, Carenza Gray hanging out in the chat room. She was all set to jump into the shower for her gig tonight in Bethesda, but she said, oh, no, I'm not. I'm going to listen to Ella Fitzgerald first. Black Coffee, which Carenza Gray sings in concert, by the way, and it's astounding. Now, this is one of those situations about that song. This is from a movie, Let No Man Write My Epitaph. Very rare to get any sort of LP from that movie, but you can also find that version of Black Coffee on the Intimate Ella 1960. Phew! And actually, the song was originally written in 1948. Sonny Burke and Paul Francis Webster wrote the song. Ella was accompanied by Paul Smith on piano. They didn't need anything else, did they? No, they did not. Oh, that was nice. Woo! We heard, too, Jerry Allen to start the set, Let It Be. Yes, that song. From a brand new, and it's just so interesting to read the whys and wherefores of why she decided to do this CD, Jerry Allen, Grand River Crossing, Motown and Motor City Inspirations. I listened to a few tracks. I just got this yesterday, by the way. So thank you, everybody at Motima Music. She has 15 tracks on here. Now, it's just really wild. She has, this is Jerry Allen now, Want to Be Starting Something, Tears of a Clown, That Girl, Baby, I Need Your Lovin', Stoned Love, Inner City Blues. I'm serious. And you don't necessarily recognize the tunes as such when you hear them, but it's exceptionally intriguing, and you have to pick it up just so you can feel the difference from what she normally has attention for, which is out-and-out jazz. I mean, she was on Ravi Coltrane's last CD, and, of course, Jerry Allen is an educator, and she's had her own work. But this is a different dimension for her completely. Marion McPartlin, live at Yoshi's Night Spot. Straight, No Chaser is the name of the song. And that was from 1995. And it just turns out that Marion left us at the age of 95 on Tuesday. Amazing. There was a critic who will go nameless when Marion first arrived from Great Britain, 1946? Oh, my God. The critic said, well, she's white, she's a woman, and she's involved in jazz. She really won't amount to much in the United States. Guess what? Did she ever amount to a whole lot? Not only a decades-long career and totally respected, but had a show on NPR for such a long time, Marion McPartlin's Piano Jazz. She played with anybody. Didn't matter if it was a piano player or not. And even with a piano player who had a style completely differentiated from her own, she managed to hold her own. She was one of those rare, beautiful, refined, lush players who kept evolving as she got older. She would actually say, you know, I feel like I want to get a bit more reckless. She was a Peabody Award winner in 1983 and just left an absolute varied kind of repertoire behind. And what you heard there was a lot of love. And one of the things I wanted to stress about her, not that husbands necessarily need the appendage, just like wives don't need the appendage when we're talking about musicians, but you have to make note of the fact that she married Jimmy McPartlin. She met him on a USO tour in 1944, and she married him. And their marriage lasted a couple of decades, and they divorced. But Marion used to like to say that the divorce didn't take because they remained such good friends. Jimmy was the one who encouraged Marion to get a little trio together, which she did in New York. His style of playing was so different than hers, and he wanted her to come into her own, which is monumental. In turn, what she did for him, he was dying of cancer, and she took care of him until his last breath. So that's the kind of woman that she was, the kind of man that he was, and they had a really good partnership that lasted for a long time. So it just bears mentioning that Marion McPartlin, now, when you look at that 1958 picture of Great Day in Harlem, she, along with Mary Lou Williams and Maxine Sullivan, were the only three women in that picture, and they're all gone. So again, I say to you, make sure that when you get a chance to see a legend, go. Do not pass go. Do not collect $500. Well, if you can get the money, that's good. But make sure you go see folks, no matter how old they are, because you just never know. And there's nothing worse than not having seen someone that you love. If I had never seen George Duke, I would be crying from now until next year. God bless everybody that gathered in the chat room today. We had a full house. Ray and Gino, great to talk to such fine entrepreneurs as well as musician and businessmen. Great to talk to Jared. Wish him well in his endeavors. Isn't that great? And all the people who are friends, actually, who got together for this pretty special day. I appreciate you all. And don't forget, bluesjazzradio.com has repeats of Hyper Jazz from Trish Hennessy, just so you know. And that's weekdays from 9 until noon. God bless. We'll see you next time. And next time around, Veronica Nunn, and we're going to have Shannon Kennedy and UNAM coming up, and some really amazing folks in September as well. God bless you. Be safe. And we'll see you soon.